Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. The Voice of Hope is on the radio every Sunday in Bungoma and Western Kenya, and so I bring you greetings and want to encourage you today in the Lord that God is on your side. God has victory for you. God wants you to be an overcomer and walk in the abundant life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you. You can listen to Voice of Hope online by going to my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org, and I post all my radio messages plus a podcast on my website, and so you can listen to Voice of Hope anytime on my website. But today I want to talk about our journey with God, our journey with Jesus. You know, the Christian life is a journey. And our journey is with Jesus Christ. We walk together with Jesus Christ. A Christian is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just serving Jesus, but it's sharing life with Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he walked with disciples every day. He walked with disciples. He walked with the people. He taught them. He encouraged them. He healed them. And the disciples live life together with Jesus. And so God is calling us today into a relationship with him where we take a journey with Jesus, where we walk life together with Jesus. I've been walking life together with Jesus for 65 years now, and it's been a wonderful journey, and it's the best journey I've ever had is walking with Jesus. And God brings all kinds of exciting things in our life when we walk with Jesus. And so I want to look at a story today. And we look and see in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll begin with verse 19, 1 Kings 19, 19. And so if you don't have a chance to look in the Bible, I encourage you to write these scriptures down, and you can look at them later. But in 1 Kings 19, 19, we're going to start looking at the story of Elisha, Elisha's journey into everything that God had for him. And so we begin in 1 Kings 19, 19. And it says, so he, that's referring to Elijah, so he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And Elijah said to Elisha, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled the flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and the people ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Lord God, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Lord God, today you'll help us understand how to walk our journey with you and to walk in all the abundant life and all the blessings you have for us. I thank you for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today, Lord God. I pray that this word will be an encouragement to them in their life with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in this passage of scripture that Elisha is a farmer and he has plows of oxen. So back then they didn't plow with a tractor, they plowed with oxen. And so Elisha, some oxen and plows, and I think people hired him to plow their shamba. You know, today you may know someone, if you're a farmer and have a big farm, you may know someone who has a tractor and a plow. And you hire that man who has a tractor and plow to plow your field. And so that's what Elisha did. Elisha had oxen and plows. And so in this particular case, he must be plowing a very big shamba because there were 12 plows with 12 yoke of oxen that were plowing this big shamba. And so Elisha is not an educated man. He's not a wealthy man. He's a farmer. And he's doing his work like he does every day, and he's plowing a field. And Elijah, God has told Elijah in 1 Kings 19 that he's supposed to choose someone to continue his ministry as a prophet to the nation of Israel. Elijah was a very powerful prophet to the kings of Israel. And so Elijah comes to Elisha and he says, and he cast his mantle, he threw his mantle on Elisha. Now, in those days, a prophet would choose somebody by putting his mantle on him. His mantle was a sign of his anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to choose that man to be a follower of him. And so he put his mantle on Elisha, showing that he had chosen him. And so Elisha then kills two of his oxen and takes the plow, and he burns the plow and makes a sacrifice with the oxen and calls a big party and calls all his friends together, and they eat the meat of the oxen together. And it says, then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So the first thing that Elisha did is he left everything to follow Elijah to be his servant. And you know, God calls us on a journey with him. God calls us to leave everything he had. You know, when Elisha burned his plow and killed his oxen, that was his way of making a living, because he was a plowman, and so that's how he made a living. And so he destroyed his way of making a living to follow Elijah. And you know, God is calling us on a journey with him, and God is calling us maybe not to leave everything to follow Jesus, but God is calling us to give our lives to him. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he has given you." So Jesus chooses us, and he chooses us to follow him and to walk life together with him. And that life begins with what we call being born again, or the new birth. People call it being saved. That is, you're giving your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again of the Spirit of God to enter the kingdom of God. You have to become a child of God. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says, when you're born again, you become a new creation, a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. To become a follower of Christ, the first thing you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be born again. Become a child of God. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And so today, maybe you're listening to Voice of Hope and you've never done that. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so Jesus is calling you. He says, "I have chosen you." Jesus today is calling you just like Elijah called Elisha. Jesus is calling you today. And he's put his mantle on you. In fact, he's identified himself with you. He wants you to follow him. And so if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. And you can do that in a simple prayer, as accepting Jesus as your Savior. So you just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of God, that you came to earth and you died for my sin. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin to you. Forgive me of my sin. Take away my sin. I choose to give my life to you and to serve you all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you've really confessed your sin to Jesus Christ, Jesus has forgiven you. You have become a child of Almighty God. You become a follower of Jesus Christ today as you accepted Christ as your Savior. And so that's the first step to our journey with Jesus, is we have to accept Jesus as our Savior, be born again, become a child of Almighty God. You're not just a child of your natural father. You're a child of God. You come into all the blessings of God. But the second step that needs to happen is that Elisha followed Elijah and became his servant. So we not only need to accept Christ our Savior, we need to follow him, give our life to him. And the Bible calls it becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:32, Jesus talked to some Jews who believed in him. And he said, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So these were people who believed in Jesus, but he said, if you want to be my disciples, you must abide in my word. You know that you need to begin to walk according to the word of God. You need to follow Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus walked on earth, he chose 12 men. He chose some fishermen, Peter, James, and John. He said, follow me. And they left their fishing and followed Jesus. There's a tax collector named Levi. And Jesus called Levi, follow me. And Levi left his business of tax collecting and followed Jesus. See, there are many people that believe in Jesus, but they don't really follow Jesus. They don't really walk with Jesus. They haven't really given their lives to Jesus Christ. And maybe today you're a person who's saved. You accepted Jesus as your Savior, but today Jesus is calling you to follow him. Jesus has put his mantle of his Holy Spirit on you. You see, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and you become a child of God. Jesus put your mantle on you when you accepted Christ as your Savior. But you have to make the choice of following him. Jesus said, you do not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus chooses us, and we choose to follow him. So God is calling you to a new level today, to come into everything he has for you. He's calling you to be his disciple and to follow him. Not to be a buona cuba, not to be somebody important, but to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It says, then Elisha arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. See, the disciples of Jesus Christ that Jesus chose, they became his servant. They walked with him. They served him. As a disciple of Christ, we serve Jesus Christ. We give our lives to him. And God is calling people to follow him, to not just be believers, but be disciples of him. So the first step of our journey with Jesus is we need to accept Jesus as our Savior, become born again, give our lives to him. Then we need to become his disciples and follow him. And we do that by walking according to the word of God and living according to the word of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in somebody, it means you've given your life totally to them and that you're following them and you're doing what they say. And we learn about Jesus Christ and we learn how to do things his way by walking together with him according to his word. And so God today is wanting to raise up disciples. And so now we'll look at the next step of the journey of Elisha with Elijah and our walk with Jesus. And we turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elisha has been serving Elijah for many years now. And Elijah is about ready to go to heaven. And so in 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse 1 says, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. So the first place they came to was Gilgal. So then Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. Gilgal is the place of meeting in Israel. It was a place where Israelites came together and met. When they first got out of the wilderness and came across the Jordan River, the first place they camped was Gilgal. And so, you know, the wilderness is a difficult place. You know, God delivered Israel out of Egypt. They came into the wilderness, a difficult place, because God wanted them to grow in him. But then when they entered the promised land, the first place they came to was Gilgal, the place of fellowship, the place of meeting. And it's important in our life with Christ, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we choose to follow him, that we begin to walk in fellowship with other believers, become part of a church, because it's in walking in fellowship with one another we grow together in the Lord. We see this in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and we'll go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, but I want to just look briefly in Acts chapter 2. Peter had finished preaching the word of God, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent." That means turn from your sin. Repent and let everyone you baptize in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. So after they heard the word, Peter said, "Repent from your sin. Turn away from your sin. Be baptized in water." That means you become a new creature, a new person in Christ Jesus, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper to walk out our Christian life. And then you go down to Acts 2, verse 41. It says, "Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers." And it says, "So they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved." So we see in the early church what church looked like. The first thing they did, they came and they listened to the teaching of the apostles. So one of the reasons you go to church is to receive the word of God. Make sure you go to a church that teaches the word of God. Take your Bible with you. Follow what the pastor's saying from his Bible. So you want to go to a church that teaches the word of God. They went daily to hear the apostles teaching. And then they went from house to house, fellowshipping, breaking bread, and sharing life together. See, fellowship is more than going to church. Going to church is extremely important, but fellowship is sharing life together. See, when you're born again, you become a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first thing you must do is become in fellowship with other believers. That means you begin to walk life together with other believers. You're walking life together with Jesus. Elisha followed Elijah, but you're walking with other believers, because it's in walking with other believers that we grow together, we encourage one another, we pray together. And that doesn't mean just in church. That means you go to their house, fellowship together, you do things together, you encourage together, maybe you work together, you share your finances together. See, it's living life together. See, there are people I live life together with all the time. God wants you to share life and fellowship with other believers. That's how we grow in Christ. So the first thing that after Elisha left everything to follow Elijah and become his servant, the first place they went to was Gilgal, the place of fellowship. So they began to fellowship together with other prophets and other men and women of God. And so then Elijah told Elisha, "Stay here because I'm going on to Bethel." Bethel is the house of God. It's the place of worship. It's where Jacob saw a ladder. Jacob is the father of the nation of Israel. He saw a ladder going up to heaven, angels coming up and down. And he saw God and he said, "This is no place but the house of God, Bethel." Bethel is where you come into relationship with God. Bethel is a place of worship. So, you know, he had to come into fellowship. Now, some people, they just come to church to fellowship. But we don't just need to stop with fellowship. We need to move on into worship. Fellowship is what we do together as a body of Christ. Worship is focusing God. We know we do worship in church. We love to do worship in church. We love getting together and worshiping God, singing and praising God, dancing before God, worshiping God. But worship is something we do not only in church. Worship is what we do through our life. We worship, we constantly lift up and exalt the name of God. I worship God every morning. I worship God during the day. I constantly looking to Jesus, constantly lifting up his name, constantly exalting Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy, you are glorious, you are powerful. See, worship is focusing on God. See, God calls into fellowship with one another, but he calls into a lifestyle of worship. So Elisha had to leave just fellowshipping, and they had to go to Bethel, the house of God, the place of worship. God is calling us into a lifestyle of worship, not just worship in church, but worship every day. Not just fellowship in church, but fellowship every day. That worship and fellowship are a part of our everyday life as followers of Jesus Christ. Then you continue on in 2 Kings chapter 2, and it says, and so then Elijah told Elisha, I have to leave Bethel, and I have to go down to Jericho. Jericho was the first city that Israel conquered in the promised land. And you can read in Joshua chapter 1 and 2 about the conquering of Jericho. Jericho was the biggest city in the promised land, and they marched around Jericho 10 times, and they gave a big shout, and the walls of Jericho came down, and they conquered Jericho. Jericho is the place of victory. God wants to bring victory in your life. God wants you to be an overcomer. We are more than overcomers through Christ Jesus who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. See, God wants to walk in victory. God wants to have victory over the enemy, victory over sin, victory over temptation, victory over sickness, victory over every power of the enemy. But victory comes after we make a decision to give our lives to Christ, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to begin to fellowship with other believers and begin to worship and praise and exalt Jesus. That is, Jesus is more than anything else. See, when you exalt Jesus, you release the power of Jesus into your life to give you victory. God wants to give you victory. Elisha followed Elijah. He gave up everything to follow Elijah. Gilgal, he went to Gilgal, the place of fellowship, Bethel, the place of worship, and now they're Jericho, the place of victory. And God wants to bring victory in your life as you commit your life to him and you walk with him in fellowship with him. But you see, we don't stop. Some people just stop at fellowship. Some people just stop at worship. See, in every spot, Elijah told Elisha, you stay here and I'm going on. No, but every time Elisha said, no, I have chosen to follow you. I'm going to walk with you wherever you go. I'm going to walk with you to Bethel. I'm going to walk with you to Gilgal. I'm going to walk with you to Jericho. I'm going to participate with you in fellowship. I'm going to participate in worship. And I'm going to participate with you in victory. See, a lot of people only know worship. They just worship God and they stop at worship. But we can't stop at worship. God wants to lead us on to a place of victory till we overcome the power of the enemy. We overcome temptation. We overcome sin and walk in the victory that Jesus has purchased through us through his death and resurrection. And so then they went on from Jericho to Jordan. Now Jordan is the place of death, where we die to self and we give our lives to Jesus Christ. See, when Israel left the wilderness, they passed through Jordan to come into the promised land. See, God has wonderful things in store for us. God has a victorious life for us. God has blessing for us. But we must die to ourselves. In other words, the Christian life is not living for me. It's living for Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 17, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And in the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. In other words, I don't live for myself anymore. See, when they came to Jordan, there was a whole 50 other people that call them the school of prophets that came with them. That school of prophets were with them when they went to Gilgal, when they went to Bethel, when they went to Jericho, the place of victory. But when they came to Jordan, all 50 prophets stopped at Jordan. They weren't willing to die to themselves. See, God wants to anoint you with a new anointing. God wants to give you victory in your life. God wants you to be an overcomer through Jesus Christ. But to do that, we have to die to ourselves. In other words, we don't live for ourselves. We live for Jesus Christ. When you die to Christ, it's not about me anymore. It's not about what I want. It's about what Jesus wants. It's not me promoting myself. I don't live for Jesus to get money. I don't live for Jesus to become important. I don't live for Jesus to do. No, I live for Jesus because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. Paul called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He says, I don't live for myself. I have crucified. I have died with Christ. And it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You know, God is calling us to a greater place to come into the fullness of what he has for us. And so Elisha followed Elijah even through Jordan, the place of death. And they came to Jordan River, and Elijah took his mantle, the same mantle he had put on Elisha. He took that mantle, which represented the authority of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he struck the Jordan River. Now, Jordan was a very big river, like the Nile River. And he struck the river Jordan, and the river opened up, and Elisha and Elijah passed over on dry ground. And they were the only two that crossed over. Only Elisha. Nobody else crossed with Elijah except Elisha. See, dying to self is giving ourselves fully to God for him to be glorified in us. Then he asked Elisha, Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want? And Elisha says, I want your anointing. I want the authority that you have and to walk in your power and authority. And so Elijah told Elisha, if you see me taken away, and you'll receive that authority. And so we see that in 2 Kings 2:13 that Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. His mantle fell on Elisha. Elisha took the mantle of Elijah, and he went back to the Jordan River. He struck the Jordan River. He said, where is the God of Elijah? And the Jordan River passed up, and all 50 schools of the prophets said, the anointing that was on Elijah has come upon Elisha. See, God is wanting to raise up today an army of men and women who have not just stopped at Gilgal Fellowship, not just stopped at worship of worshiping God, not just stopped at the place of victory, but they've died to self, given their lives totally to Jesus Christ so they can walk in his power and his victory. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person who's listening to the Voice of Hope today, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'll empower them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that they won't just stop at fellowship at church. They won't just stop with worshiping you, Lord God. They'll become a bond slave of Jesus Christ. They'll commit themselves to Jesus Christ. Lord, they won't just stop at the place of victory, Lord God, but they'll die to self, give their lives totally to you, so they walk in your authority and your power. They walk in your love and your grace to change their world for Jesus Christ. Lord, you chose us that we may bear fruit and that our fruit may remain. Lord, I pray that you'll bless every person listening to the Voice of Hope. Encourage them by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I encourage you to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday to receive an encouraging word from the Lord. Or go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, and you can listen to all my programs. God bless you. Have a great week. And Lord willing, I will talk to you next Sunday on the Voice of Hope. Bye-bye.